Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control news you can use. And now, here's your hosts, Ken and Eric.
All right, here we go. All right, welcome to Control Talk Now for the week ending October 19th, 2014. This is your host, Eric Stromquist. Just a couple of guys sitting around talking about building automation controls and smart buildings. I am joined, as usual, by my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thank you, Eric. One of these days, I'm going to have to give you a great introduction like that, too. You do it to me. You overwhelm me with that. It's good stuff. I love it. Gets me racing, and I hope I can live up to half of that. The man, the myth, the legend.
You always do, man. That's what makes you the man.
That's me. Okay. Well, listen, so what's going on? You're getting ready to travel again, aren't you? You got your traveling shoes on?
I'm headed down to the Belimo Platinum meeting in St. Kitts. We're actually, the meeting I think starts Wednesday or I think Thursday and goes through next weekend. But, as you know, with all the control talk and control trends, I kind of stay in the doghouse with my wife who is pregnant with our second child. So, I'm going to try and mend a few fences and, see what I can do to, get back in her good graces.
Good idea.
So we're taking her and Evelyn Grace down, so we'll be hitting the beach. So looking forward to it, big dog.
And you make him take you out to all the nicest restaurants and really spoil you for all the hard work he does at your expense.
So listen, before we get started, Kenny, I got to tell you an internet security horror story. Okay, we always talk about internet security and how important it is. So I'm going through last night and I'm checking my credit card statement, right? And I start seeing all these PayPal charges that I have no idea what the world they're for, right? So I go down and ask my wife, I said, hey, look, I got these weird PayPal things. You hadn't been using my PayPal account, have you? And she goes, no, I haven't been using your PayPal account. So I go up and I look at my PayPal account, Kenny, and these charges are not on my PayPal account, but they're showing up on my credit card as a PayPal charge. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Fred Gordy's warned me about it. Mark P. Talks warned me about it. We learned about it at Ibicon RealCom. I've been hacked. So I immediately get on the phone with my credit card company and spend the next 2.5 hours going through my statement for the last year, finding all these $50 charges and $150 PayPal charges that are not on my PayPal account. So I know I've been fraudulently hacked here. And we go through this whole entire process. You know, it's exhausting. They assure me they're going to get to the bottom of it and get back to me. And I wake up this morning and my wife looks at me and goes, hey, I figured out what happened with your PayPal thing. I said, you did? What happened? What happened? She goes, well, you know, a while back, you know how I always get stuff for the house and all that? And, you know, I just took your credit card up to it, so to my PayPal account, so I could pay for it with PayPal, and you wouldn't have to worry about reimbursing me. To which I just totally went, you what? I'm pregnant. Don't talk to me in that tone of voice. I said, you haven't heard a tone of voice yet. So anyway, I've got to go back, call the credit card company, eat a little crow here. But wow. So my wife, anyway. God bless her. We're gonna have a good time in St. Kitts. But hey, Kenny, before we can go, I need to get busy. Let's find out. Let's talk about controls and what was happening in the world of controls last week.
All right, well, first let's do our sponsorship. Our sponsorship for the week ending October 19th is the International Systems of America.
This
is a great company. Hats off to Mr. Julio Rodriguez, the National Sales Manager, and to Mr. Mike Epperson. Mike Epperson is the President and Chief Executive Officer. And, you know, these guys have just they've done so much behind the scenes. They work like a company like no other. They deliver new parts or repaired parts as fast as can be done. And all the work's done at a state-of-the-art testing facility, repair costs. To repair parts or build reconditioning alternatives within the most minimum time possible. They're right next to the UPS hub in Louisville, Kentucky, and they can do things in 24 hours that no other company in the country or perhaps the world can do.
Absolutely, Kenny. And let's think about this for a minute. So Julio Rodriguez reached out to us and found us on Control Trends, apparently a big Control Trends reader, invited us to come up to Louisville to show us what they did. And Kenny, we've got a video on Control Trends. People can go back and actually see it. These guys are one of the best kept secrets in the controls industry. They repair old fire alarm systems, even old DDC systems. If you have an old Andover system or an old Johnson, old Honeywell stuff, they're able to take those things in, repair them, refurbish them, get them right back out to you, and they all meet ISA standards. So really, really cool stuff. Great people. Really like both Julio and Mike. So and both those guys are going to be at the Control Trends Awards this year. And obviously, they came on as platinum sponsors. I think Mike is on the nomination list for best executive from a small manufacturer. And I think Julio's on there too for it's either the PID award or best technical support. Definitely check these guys out. That's our sponsor of the week.
All right, Eric, now we'll get rolling here on the posts. First post we had was Project Haystack announces Haystack Connect 2015 conference. This is the event that connects the community and the ecosystem that drives smart data, smart devices, smart buildings, and smart businesses. This will be held at Colorado Springs, October 14th. And as we all know, Project Haystack is a nonprofit 501c organization focusing on developing common data tagging. So real quickly, what is Haystack? It is an open source initiative to streamline working with data from the Internet of Things. Project Haystack standardizes semantic data models and web services with the goal of making it easier to unlock the value from the vast quantities of data being generated by smart devices that permeate our homes, our buildings, our factories, and our cities. Their applications include automation, control, energy, HVAC, lighting, and other environmental systems.
That's good stuff, Kenny. And we were there last year. You can go to Control Trends and see the first conference they ever had was in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We were there. And Kenny, it was kind of like a who's who of who's really knowledgeable in the controls industry. I know you had one of your systems integrators with you, and he was blown away by what they were doing. So this is going to be something you're definitely going to check out. And of course, you got almost a year to get ready for it. So in Colorado Springs, hey, the home of Nikola Tesla and other people, it's a beautiful place. So we'll be there, and you should make plans to be too.
All right, Eric. Next up, we have Mr. Roger Rebenak, the most exciting man in HVAC. See how Honeywell integrates access and security. Just briefly, we're getting ready to do some serious things with Honeywell WebScan. The Web's AX Access Security Jace is an amazing hybrid of technology. It can do everything. It can integrate all of your subsystems, but it's also an open, scalable, complete integration solution. It's a seamless integration too, and it can provide energy savings, real serious energy savings. They were down at the Asus show, and I know that you joined them. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that experience?
Well, it was fantastic. The first security show I've been to, which was in itself phenomenal, Kenny. It was huge. You know, on the scale of an AHR show, Honeywell had a booth there, which you can see in the video. And Roger was kind enough to sort of walk us through and show us all the great stuff that Honeywell has. Now, what was interesting, and I walked a good part of the show and other people did too, and there's some really impressive cameras and video displays and so on and so forth. But as Roger and Stephen Haynes pointed out to me, and I can confirm this because I checked some other places out, Honeywell were the only people in that building, this division of Honeywell, that could not only do access and security, but could do the HVAC and the building automation and the lighting controls and have it all in one package. And that is where the value lies for these guys. So great video, definitely worth checking out. And I think, you know, Honeywell, that security, Jace, they're really dialed in. And of course, Roger, what can you say about Roger? He's passionate. He loves what he's doing. He is the most exciting man in the controls industry. And as he's fond of saying, I don't often drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. I'm sorry. I don't often do security, but when I do, I prefer Honeywell Web's AX.
All right. Okay.
All right, big dog. What do we have
next
up next?
Next up, Eric, we have Building Energy Efficiency Frontiers and Innovation Technologies. This is a mouthful that comes out of the DOE, but I'll tell you what. We keep talking about how Uncle Sam's trying to give away money, and there's so many funding opportunities that they're actually having a class They're registering people from all walks of life to learn how to collect your share of this potential monies. The Building Technologies Office Emerging Technologies Program has announced the availability of nearly $8 million under the BEEFI. It's a benefit. It doesn't come out exactly right. Building Energy Efficiencies, Frontiers, and Innovation Technologies. In parentheses, the acronym is Benefit Funding Opportunity. Coming out of the Department of Energy, basically, it's anticipated that six awards will be made, ranging between $500,000 to $1.5 million, and they actually have two main categories. Innovations category, which involves non-vapor compression HVAC technologies for the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning that replace vapor compression technologies. And then the frontiers category, which is advanced vapor compression. Now, it sounds like these are very esoteric, but they actually get down into the stuff that specific environments that can provide dramatic improvements in energy efficiency with modest increases to equipment cost. And how to apply this funding opportunity is available to individuals, corporations, universities, nonprofits, as well as national laboratories. So the final funding amount is subject to the congressional appropriation. So there's a link to there. Some of the bright minds out there, the next great solution might be coming from somebody's garage. We don't know. But I'll tell you what, there's funding available. And for those inclined, please visit the site and visit the DOE Building Energy Efficiency Frontier and Innovation Technology site.
So, Kenny, who's your favorite uncle?
Uncle Sam. No,
Uncle Sam. There you go, big dog. Uncle Sam. Check it out. That's a great post, Kenny. You're right. There's so much money available to people in our industry. It's a great time to be in this sector.
You said something that just really, you talk about serendipity. My brother, Jesse, always asked the kids when they were real young, who's your favorite uncle? And he'd work him and give him something that would make them always regard him kindly and highly. And then he went to Germany and did the same thing, Liebling's uncle.
Yeah, but I tell you what, Uncle Jesse's not offering $8 million.
It wasn't. But then the thing I was trying to say is that there was a corollary with Uncle Sam in Germany, and his name's Uncle Fritz. So
Uncle Fritz, I got
the same thing going on where the government provides a lot of funding and stuff. So anyhow, moving along, the next blog post on control trends last week, Eric, and this is a real serious one, so I'm going to slow down and make sure I get this right. This was a cybersecurity eye-opener, Project Shine, Shodan Intelligence Extraction, reveals the magnitude of internet-connected critical control systems. This was a tip that Mark Pitok, the Vice President of Marketing for Linkspring and a cybersecurity expert, sent this over to us. And this is just, you know, mind-boggling. It revealed, this Project Shine revealed that 2.2 million SCADA and BACnet devices were identified as being directly or indirectly exposed to hacking. Now, I don't even want to go across the list of names here, but there's some significant names here that we all need to take account. But researchers identified 182 manufacturers who were considered to be traditional SCADA and control systems manufacturers and built relevant search query based, and they built a relevant search query based on these names to find devices. The surprise that was, considering the team expected only a few dozen or so manufacturers, in the end, the team sampled about 2.2 million devices during the course of the project. And the results are staggering, how much vulnerability is out there and how they're insisting that people just start a dialogue. Everybody needs to run around, not with their head cut off, but with a motive that they're going to help get everybody educated about cybersecurity. Because I was on the site and I spent an hour today watching the different things that came out of Homeland Security and whatever. And they're saying it right on the website now. They said that there was security, what people with cyber terrorism does is to create the disruption. And they're changing the word disruption to cyber destruction. They're so concerned now with our utilities, with water. You got people, Kmart got hacked. If you read the post and check things out that we put out last two or three cybersecurity posts, we're looking at, 76 million accounts were exposed with JP Morgan. We know it happened to Target. Well, now we've got, six others that are falling right in a step. Home Depot, TJ Maxx. It's just a question of when you're going to get hacked. So we've got to get people's attention, and hopefully these posts are doing their job and they're getting people a little bit more concerned about their vulnerability.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny, it's scary stuff. It really is. And Yeah, very interesting article there. And I wonder if these guys can help me with my wife hacking my PayPal account. But I don't think anybody can stop her, man. Well, there's a will, there's a will.
That's a domestic cyber issue.
Yeah, domestic cyber terrorism. All right. We better move on, Kenny, before I get in trouble.
I hate to be beating the drum too hard here, but the next post is relevant because the 2014 ICS Cybersecurity Conference is being held this coming October 20th and 23rd, 2014, in Atlanta, Georgia. What's going on is Atlanta, all of a sudden, they just had the ACES convention. Now they've got the cybersecurity convention. But sounds like Atlanta's the place to be. So this is the longest-running cybersecurity-focused conference for industrial control system sector. So ICS stands for Industrial Controls Systems. And it caters to the energy, utility, chemical, transportation, manufacturing, and other industries and critical infrastructure organizations. The conference will address topics covering ICS, including protection for SCADA systems, plant control systems, engineering workstations, substation equipment, programmable logic controllers, PLCs, and other field control systems. So our first post regarding cybersecurity was the problem. The second post is a possible solution. So people that are looking for information, we've got a couple sources. Why don't you tell us about the sources we have at our disposal? But attending this conference would be a good starting place for some of the people that don't have a strategy yet, that don't have a program yet. This is where you want to go and meet the people that can help you get there.
No, absolutely, Kenny. I tell you, unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town at the BLIMO Platinum meeting, but would love to be there. I bet Fred Gordy will be there. So we've reached out to Fred, too, and get him on the show. We're due for an interview with Fred soon. So hopefully he'll be able to give us a heads up on that show. So, Fred, if you're listening, let's definitely get something scheduled and let us know if you're at that show. So, Kenny, I tell you what, before we move on to the next thing, let's bring our guest on this week. He is... one of our biggest people that you and I admire, Ken. Tell us about our next guest.
All right, Eric. Our next guest is Ken St. Clair. He's the editor and owner of the automatedbuildings.com website. He does a fabulous job. He's a steward and stalwart in the industry. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Ken. It's good to have you on.
Thank you very much.
So, Ken, I tell you what, the October issue has been a big success. I think if anybody that's in this industry that's not going to automatedbuildings.com for Ken's monthly publication is really missing out. I know it's a big source of information for us and just about everybody we know. For anybody who might not have seen the October issue yet, Ken, tell me a little about what's in there.
Okay, we were waiting for a theme, and it was kind of funny because it just fell on the doorstep, and the fact that Barney and Michael's book got delivered. And I'd written the foreword for that book, and it was called Automated Diagnostics and Analysis. So that sounded like a good title for the issue, a good theme. And when I started looking at the book, I was extremely pleased that a lot of our regular contributing editors plus regular contributors had contributed heavily to this book. And I was kind of proud of that, in the fact that automated buildings has become kind of a staging ground where we can all, Toby always calls it the water cooler. Everybody hangs around the water cooler at automated buildings.
Yeah, nice.
And chaps. And so it's nice that people can start formulating chapters of books, and then it eventually evolves into this 46-chapter book, which I was very... very pleased with that, and pleased to help them promote that book.
Well, Ken, you know, you're always sort of ahead of the curve. I know with Ken Smyers and I, we sort of want to know what's next. We look towards Canada and you, because you're just way ahead of the curve. And it seems like education is such an important thing. And, you know, Kenny and I talked about when we came up, Honeywell had this book, we called it the Gray Book, right? And it was like the manual you went through, and anybody that was in the controls industry, you know, had a copy of that. It seems like this new book that has been published is going to be the replacement for that. Say more about what's in the book and how you see it maybe impacting our industry.
Well, of course, it's all the Internet of Things. One of the most impressive things to me about the book is that there are actually chapters in there that were articles as few as a year ago, an automated building. So often books, by definition, the information gets to be, you know, years old before it gets into a book. So I think the assembly of this information is getting quicker, which is useful. But anyway, the IFT is obviously taking over our industry, and automated diagnostics and analytics is a part of that big data. And this just gives a great spattering of people's opinions and what they've done and the directions it's going. And again, we have that ongoing on our site. Again, that was when we threw that out as a theme, then a whole bunch of folks wrote about it.
Let me go ahead and intervene just a second there, Ken. So, I could just say that the book itself it's a very large book, and it has several chapters. But I look at this thing as being the new textbook for a building management system. Do you think that's a stretch, or do you think that's kind of you still need to be an engineer or have engineering backgrounds to it? But nowadays we're seeing a shift go from it made everything so easy with the selection charts for valving and selecting different equipment and stuff. Now the real trick is integrating. The real trick is taking analytics and making taking all that big data and selecting, making it the right data, most important data, so that you can start to implement energy strategies and really save the most amount of energy possible. So I look at that as because I just looked through the chapters. It has current technologies, tools, products, and services, and that's where it's really neat to see SkySpark and Sky Foundry. Then we have methodology and future technology. So I just really thought Eric and I were tickled that we're seeing a new kind of like an opus magnus of our industry come out right at the time where we're right in the middle of it all.
Right. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. When we were all at IBCon there and we were all watching the presentation on the adoption curve, that really had a big impact on myself and just this understanding that we're all early adopters, and there is this chasm we have to jump over, and then there's the adoption of what we've been doing. And I think we're across the chasm, and this book is an important piece to sort of hand off to the people that are now starting to believe what we've actually been chugging away with for the last couple of years. I sometimes have trouble with that adoption curve because everybody I work with is on the other side of the chasm, is on the left side of the chasm. I don't know anybody on the other side of the chasm, so I sometimes have a trouble relating to those folks. It's like, what are you talking about? We did this 5 years ago, and it works fine. We're on to doing some things different now. So anyway, but I do understand actually from that whole adoption curve discussion that how significant it is to document what the heck we're doing and educate folks to what we've done. I mean, the trouble is for us is we're excited about all this stuff, and then we do it, we prove to ourselves it works, and we say, wow, that's neat. And then we start building on that, and we got to get it somehow out into the mainstream, and I'm not crystal clear on how to do that, but like I say, I work on the other side of the curve, or the other side of the gap.
Well, Ken, I think I owe somebody an apology. I introduced you incorrectly. I introduced you as the editor and owner, but actually, you're the publisher and owner of Automated Buildings. But Jane would be upset. She might be the editor. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Actually, we don't want to get you on the wrong side of the chasm with Jane now, Ken.
The other thing I've done now is I've joined a thing called founder dating, which is interesting. So it's basically the folks that are the founders of concepts and companies, and they have an interesting perspective. And it all of a sudden it dawned on me that I was not only all of those things, the publisher and stuff, but I was actually the founder. And I've noticed that quite a few folks are starting to do that now, that if they've, like you two would definitely be the founders of Control Trends. And that's significant because before you, Control Trends didn't exist. And now it does. So people that have a founder mentality think a little different than other folks. And it is interesting to make that distinction.
But, okay, Ken, listen, we've got some neat things to talk about here. I wanted to kind of transition into the next one. And that was what's coming up 2015. You've got a lot of exciting things planned and some sessions. Why don't you give us an overview of what to look forward to in the AHR 2015 in Chicago?
Okay, we've got four sessions going on there. The first one's called Growing the Building Automation Industry Younger with the Internet of Things, Open Cloud and Collaboration. And Jim Sinopoli and Brad White are joining me as thought leaders on that. And it's just kind of a fun update for the industry to let them know what kind of some of the changes we are seeing. And then the second session, I think, is our first ever to go into this area, and I'm really interested where this will go. Again, came out of the IBCON meeting and the presentation that we were all at with Paul Oswald. He really hit us with his addressing the skills gap. And so what I did is I took that his talk at the integrator portion of IBCON, and we've taken that and made that into a session. And addressing the skills gap, understanding that people are our only asset, and an educational session. So looking forward to that. It would be really great if Control Trends was able to basically record any portion of that. That would be amazing. That also includes Jim Sinopoli. Jim, as you may be aware, has been trying to crack this education nut and trying to pull facility operators out of the mud for years, and has basically started the Smart Building Institute and has done a lot of work in that area. So I'm surrounded, as usual, by a whole bunch of people that are a lot smarter than I am, which always helps. The next one is the third session, and we're going to talk about how smart automated buildings and IoT create smart cities. It's just kind of dealing with the fabric that once we start to move into this internet world, that these buildings start to become assets and identities in large cities. And there's also a big push, as you are all aware, to be the smartest city. And Cisco's doing a lot of work in this in Canada, and Rick Hunderje is making that all happen. So so there's just a lot of neat things. So again, Jim and Brad and I are going to chat a little bit about that and open up some communication.
Well, this is great stuff, Ken. And so we're talking about the AHR show in Chicago this year. Kenny, we could probably put a link to AHR, because if you're not registered for the AHR show yet, you should definitely get there. And Ken, you should definitely get to some of Ken's sessions. They are always very, very informative and very timely. And of course, Ken, the other big thing that's happening in Chicago is the 2014 Control Trends Awards. I have it on pretty good authority that you are probably going to be introducing our new Hall of Fame member. We can't tell anybody who that is yet, but the fact that you're going to be there is quite an honor for us. So we're looking forward to having you at the Control Trends Awards this year.
Very pleased to be there. And as we've chatted in the past, it's the only reason I haven't been able to attend on a regular basis is just conflict with the sessions that we put on. And it's I do appreciate you changing it, so I am able to attend, and I think that'll actually flow through a whole bunch of folks that have had conflicts before with what AHR is a tremendously busy time for everybody. So it's just trying to find a spot where we can do everything. We all want to do everything. So
right. Well, I think we got a perfect time this year in a perfect location. What Ken's alluding to, in the past, we had to have the Control Trends Awards at lunchtime, which was just kind of a hassle because people couldn't get out of the booths and was sort of offsite. With a lot of help from people like Mark Petock at Linkspring, we're actually having this in the same, very close, and the timing's going to be from 6 to 8. So you'll be able to do the show, you'll be able to leave the show, and at the show you can attend events like Ken host, then you can come over to the Control Trends Awards, celebrate with us between 6 and 8, and then head out that evening to whatever other, other event you might have. And Ken, so I want to sort of cycle back around for a minute, because you and automated buildings, I mean, you correctly called the fact that we really need to attract more young people into our industry. And, you know, Kenny and I are both on board with that. We are, anytime we get a young person that's in the industry and successful, we like to interview them, Ken, find out, you know, what attracted them to the industry and what they're up to. I know you're giving it a lot of coverage. And this year at the Control Trends Awards, we're actually going to acknowledge probably five or six, we call them young guns or young superstars. So that is going to be a really cool part of the show as well.
I'm doing some, I guess we call it missionary work here too, working with who I call the kids, is the folks that took over Sinclair Energy Services. And we're trying to crack the nut as to how do we transfer some of this dusty stuff that we all have in our heads that is actually needed for them to move forward. It's an interesting problem, I think, it's a problem that the whole industry and the whole world is actually faced with, is we have a tremendous amount of experience, life experiences, that needs to be transferred to these new folks who actually have completely different experiences than us, and their experiences are needed to move this all forward, but we need to know some of this basic stuff is when do you break a chiller, and is the system airlocked, and all those mundane things that we learned over the years of working in the industry. And we're trying to figure out how best to do that, and we're fiddling around with something called Lunch and Learn. I'll keep you posted on that, and we'll try and bring that into addressing the skills gap and report back on that in Chicago.
Oh, Ken, that sounds fantastic. And if we can be of help at all with that, we'd love to. One of the things that I picked up on, and Kenny picked up on, based on a suggestion you gave us a while back, and I got to give you credit for this, because I wouldn't have thought of it if you hadn't said something. You know, we have so much content on Control Trends, but it's not always easy to find. So we've actually created, in addition to the videos we already have up here, Ken, we've actually created something called a Training Video Resource Center. And if you go to that, it's by vendor. So and maybe we could even, so the thought process being that that instead of having to do a lengthy search, so if Honeywell puts a great video out, we put it on that resource center. Johnson Controls has a video, we put it on that resource center. If Ken Sinclair and your group gets that Lunch and Learn thing going, and it's we can help you assist with the video format, we'll create a Ken Sinclair Lunch and Learn part of the website as well. So I think what you're doing is fantastic. The knowledge has to get passed down. And I think what you're also saying, Ken, which I really admire, is it's sort of a two-way interaction. In other words, it used to be when Ken Smyers and I first got in the business, you know, the older people before us, there wasn't a lot of new technology, so we couldn't bring a lot to the table other than to learn. But with the new technology and some of the young folks and the Internet of Things and the things you're reporting on, it's almost like a lot of these people coming from a different background have a lot to teach us as well. And getting a format where the two can get together and collaborate and get that knowledge down, I think is going to be good for the industry.
Right. Actually, what we're functioning on is just some of that basic stuff that we all learned way back when. When we were coming into the industry, is what's the water pressure need to be in a building? When does the pump start to cavitate? What is this stuff called steam? This stuff makes their eyes just roll, and they like something like steam, they know nothing about when they hit a steam system, so they can kind of guess how hot water might work, but some of this stuff is mystical and magical to them, and they need we need to somehow just simplify it and get them the key words so they can start Googling it and find out more about it. So it's an interesting transition for sure. I'm finding it intriguing, just trying to get from here to there. Of course, we've got young energy group that we've repurposed, and we're trying to keep that going. We've got some good comments on there. We could have some more, but it's a LinkedIn group, and it's on the front page of our magazine, so you can take a look at what's going on there.
I just want to
say more about that, Ken, real quick. The Young Energy Group, so people who might not know about that, because we should get people joining that.
Yeah, well, it started way back in the days of Connectivity Week, and I think that's probably the very first time we ever met was at, what is it, one of those. But what happened is we identified a similar situation. You know, we keep kind of going over and over into this stuff, and we identified that it was important to draw young people into the industry. So we made an effort, and what we did is we promote their entrance to the event, and we basically they had to come, and they had to make a presentation, and they had to write an interview for Automated Buildings, which was a good way to get them involved, and so that worked fairly well, and we dragged out about 6, 7, 8 people. One of them was a guy called Alper, which was early days for Alper, and I think everybody knows him as an amazing industry success story, a young man from nowhere who basically came into the industry and almost changed the industry. So, you know, that's kind of stories we're looking for, I think. So it'd be good to feature that. Anyway, so we have these folks. They all joined Young Energy, and it kind of fizzled, that would be my best description, although the core people are still there. They've all got energy jobs. Basically, what happened is they all got absorbed in the industry. They've all busier than heck. They all look like us now. And, you know, so it was either the greatest success or the greatest failure. I don't know. It's hard to tell, but it's, I think it was a success. And that's what really happens is these people, the young folks, they get drawn in really quick, and they've become extremely useful within a few years or even a few months with the right start, and they just get absorbed. And that's because we need them. We need more of them. And they've all got good jobs and good take on life. And so I want to link that, because that young energy sort of, you know, I guess stalled, didn't go as far as we had hoped. And I guess part of it was the fact that Connectivity Week didn't continue on as well. So anyway, we have resurrected the group, because it actually had a bunch of people already in the group. So we've got, I think, a couple hundred folks. And I think if you flip through the names of the people who support it, you'll see there's some fairly significant players in the industry that are already connected to this. So what I would like to do is like to push this towards young guns and top guns, I'm sorry. Or maybe that was my dream, is to make it young guns. So it's a combination of young energy and top guns. But whatever.
I like that.
I don't really care how this happens. That a lot. As long as it does.
Well, you know, Ken, I tell you what, I'm going to be real realistic here. I'm going to cut to the chase. The way we attract young talent and is, you know what? Guys want to be rock and roll stars because women like rock and roll stars. They want to be professional athletes because women like professional athletes. And I say, if you and Ken Smyers and I are doing our job right, they're going to want to get in our industry, because when they go to a bar or something, a beautiful young lady walks up and says, "What do you do?" "I'm a buildings control guy." And they go, "Oh my gosh, I'm coming with you." So that's our mission right there. Once we do that, the rest will follow. Well, fantastic. Our guest, Ken Sinclair, the founder of automatedbuildings.com. Be sure to check those guys out. They ought to be on your RSS reader. And Ken, great stuff as always. Appreciate you very much. Give our best to Jane and have a great day.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye. All right. Thanks once again to Ken Sinclair, the publisher and owner of automatedbuilding.com. And also a special heads up and thank you to Jane Sinclair, the hardworking editor behind the scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks, Ken, for sure. All right, Kenny, let's move on. What do we have up next? Eric,
we have a very straightforward blog here, a post on Control Trends. It's called GC Valves, Solenoid Valve Tech Tip, Sensible Precautions, Part 1. This was provided to us by combination of Chuck Stevens and Jesse Smires. GC Valves has a tech.
Wait a minute, your favorite uncle, Jesse Smires?
I mean, but you know what? That's just serendipity. Again, I don't control fate and destiny. It's just, I acknowledge it. But yeah, that's the very same one. This is really good stuff because one of the most heavy hit control trends posts year in and year out, day in and day out, is the difference between ball valves and solenoid valves. And people are very concerned, and I really believe that they come to control trends to get, you know, some basic information to get prepped and ready to go. Certainly to introduce things to the new techs coming on board, or even the owners that want to know more about what's going on inside the facility. But this is just a fabulous technical tip regarding solenoid valves, because there's a few measures that can increase your satisfaction with solenoid valves. Solenoid valves, by the way, probably every single building has 10 or 15 in there, and nobody knows where they're at, whether it's in the drinking fountain, whether it's controlling the toilet flushing, whether it's your boiler feed. But solenoid valves are the fastest acting option when controlling flow. Most of them can be repaired in line without breaking the plumbing connections, and they can be much less costly than other electrically operated valves.
That's a great post, Kenny, and this is the kind of stuff we like to have on Control Trends, good technical information. So thanks very much to Chuck Stevens and Uncle Jesse.
All righty.
All right, now, Kenny, I'm hearing a sound from the east. Let me see if I can pick up on what it's a sound. It sounds like they're saying, pound the rock, release the beast. Pound the rock, release the beast. Pound the rock, release the beast. Kenny, tell us about our next post.
I'd love to, Eric. This is what it's all about. When you can combine so much of what's going on, we went to the EZIO conference, the European conference in Madrid. We've got to see just a remarkable city, remarkable part of the world, tour the real soccer team there, Real Madrid. But what really got me was how big the world is and how small it's becoming. We had representatives from all over the world, down under, all parts of Europe, all parts of America. But the guys that really caught my attention were the guys from India. This was a panel of specifying engineers from different parts of India. And they came to the EZIO conference looking for answers, looking for ideas, and also really briefed. There's a 28-minute video that needs to be watched because it does two or three things. One, it tells you about the largest emerging market in the world, or one of them, certainly one or two, what they expect as far as open standards, open systems, and how they're going to make 100 Indian cities or Indie cities smart in the next 4 years, which is an extraordinary task. I'm sure it's very it's very optimistic, but they've got monies allocated. Now they're looking for providers. They're looking for manufacturers. They're looking for vendors that get it and can make their job easier. So they're looking QB for open standards. They're looking for training to dumb down the operation of the smart building so that anybody anywhere can understand it that's responsible, because they have certain dialect problems. Everybody thinks that there's one language spoken in different countries. There isn't. In one city, you have 10 different dialects, including English, that you have to communicate with. So all the writing and all the verbal instructions are unique. And why don't you tell us your take? I mean, I was very much impressed. I think it's exciting, and to have these lofty goals for a country the size of India is amazing.
Well, me too, Kenny. And I tell you what, I feel like that one of the great things about this conference was I feel like we made friends all over the world. These guys from India were just extremely smart, but they're just great guys, you know, really cool guys. I mean, the amount of business they control in India is sort of staggering, the amount that they influence. So I got to tell you, they were just so cool. I remember there's one thing that will always stick with me was they took us out to see, what were they called? Flamenco dancers, right? Which is supposed to be a real hot event. Well, the dancers didn't show up. And so everybody's sitting around eating. The guys from India come up and they go, "He's not happening. We're getting out of here." So they took off to go find some more fun. But these guys were great, Kenny. And it amazed me just how knowledgeable they are, and how in India being truly open is something that these guys are demanding. And you know, kudos to EZIO. It seems like they are that product is very much accepted by these guys, and talk about a huge growth market. And I think a harbinger of what people should be looking for in building automation systems and smart buildings.
Well said, Eric. In fact, the one gentleman at the very end sums it up. He says that, you know, I believe it was Vinayak saying, he said that, you know, when you have a product that has everything in it, it's a totally formidable as far as its processing speeds, has SD card memory, and it also has a programming tool, it also has a graphic tool, it also has an energy dashboard. This is the kind of solutions they're looking for. So these guys really put a feather in the EZIO cap by saying that this is where it's at. This is what they're looking for. This is the right size. This is the right networking. And totally open so that they could take anything that they do, they could build on it modularly and then even integrate it into a much larger system. So it's just, you know, like you said, these guys have been around the block. They get it, and then they bring that expertise to Europe and then to discuss it so openly that they're actually involved in projects in every continent. They told us about the stuff going on in South Africa, what was going on in I think was it Holland or one of the West European countries. They were very busy in America, these engineering firms from India, but they're very open about sharing what it is they expect. But to me, this is good information to pass on to the medium and large size vendors, and also the very small niche players, that if they're looking for markets and they're developing products for specific applications for building automation and smart building controls, these are the people that we now have their building addresses, their professional addresses, their names. These people want to be contacted, and they want to meet with people that want to help them solve some of their major, major problems and overcome the barriers that are going to prevent that smart city development that they're after.
Well, I think you're right, Kenny. And one of the trends that we've sort of been tracking is the advent or the trend of the hybrid system. In other words, best of breed, different type controllers. So maybe somebody like EZIO has the best plant controller, or Honeywell or Johnson maybe has the best VAV controller, J2 Innovations or DG Logic has the best graphics package. But these guys were very much attuned into best of breed hybrid systems. So sort of a trend that we see is maybe the luster of having everything under one manufacturer might be waning a bit. But special thanks to Bartesh and AJ, Pradeep, and the rest of them. Great guys. And they're, you know, we're going to stay in touch with those guys. They said they come on Control Trends and sort of keep us posted on what's happening.
Well, I think another thing too, Eric, that was so cool was that they knew you. As soon as they saw you, you've got that iconish profile. They recognize Eric, and I'll tell you.
Oh, and Kenny. They called you. They knew Kenny too. So I might have told this story before, Kenny. And if I did, I apologize. But I remember when we got over there. Every time I'd be looking for you, I'd go, "Where's Kenny?" And they go, "Kenny's been killed." And they start laughing. And I had no idea. I had to ask my wife about it. I guess there was a show called South Park, and two of the main characters were Eric and Kenny. And every episode, Kenny got killed. So every time I'd look for you, I'd go, "Where's Kenny?" And then somebody, you know, and I think Bartesh and the rest of them were right in on this. It didn't matter whether it was the guys from Norway or whatever. They would always get the same response. "Kenny's dead."
Yeah. Well, anyhow.
All right, big dog. Well, that was just great stuff. And, you know, looking forward to that. And we sort of got word from Mike Marston that the EZIO World Conference next year is probably going to be in Paris. So next year you have to join me and Kenny and come meet some of these folks for yourself. Because I tell you what, they're great controls people all over the world.
Sure is. That's very interesting stuff. And thanks again to Mike Marston and the EZIO bunch. It was just a fabulous learning experience and a conference that we'll never forget. So, and we'll look forward certainly to Paris. What could be wrong with that, huh?
Well, we already got. I still got some footage from us in Paris, Kenny. But I think we were a little too tipsy. I'm not sure I'm going to post it or not. As you were sort of weaving as you were walking down the streets of Paris.
Wait! I want to see you dancing in the middle of that marching band. That's what I want to see. Because I know we have a video on that because I took it and it hasn't seemed to have surfaced yet. So,
all right, I tell you what, if you want me to put together a video of the outtakes of Ken and my trip to Europe, which is us getting pissed off in airports and dancing in the streets of Paris, leave a note and comments. we get enough people that are asking for that, I'll take the time and put it together.
All right, fair enough.
But we will make you sign a confidentiality agreement to look at
it. Well, I don't know if you watch was it HBO or whatever, Scandal. Did you watch Scandal, the last version of Scandal?
No, I didn't see that.
Those digital films will get you in trouble, baby. So just remember out there, and I have to say it to myself, that anytime, anywhere, there's an iPhone, you're on the internet 10 to 14 seconds later. So.
All right, buddy. I tell you what, let's hit the last post.
The last post is one by Rob Allen, 7 minutes of control. Why don't you tell us about that and bring us home?
Well, I tell you what, Rob Allen is one of our young superstars. He thinks that Kenny and I are way too long-winded. He thinks he can get more done with less, so he's come up with a thing called 7 minutes in controls. And Kenny, on this particular episode, he breaks down the Neptronics VAV controller. Does a really nice job with that, as you can see. And I got to stop for a minute and say Neptronics has come on as a sponsor this year. They are on the nomination ballot for several categories, including Best VAV Controller, so be sure to check that out. And speaking of that, Kenny, if you have not done your nominations yet, please take a minute, go ahead, fill your nominations out, nominate your people. We'll take the top probably 5 or 6 in each category. We'll go on to the finals for the 2014 Control Trends Awards. So it's very important to do that. It shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes, 10 minutes. We will ask for things like your email address and your company name. We do that just basically to make sure that somebody is not just voting for himself over and over and over again. And then we promise, our promise to you is we will not share your information with anyone. It's proprietary. As a matter of fact, the only other piece of information you'll get from us when it's time to vote, we will send you a voting ballot so you can vote for the finalists. So nomination period ends, I think it's next week, Kenny. So we'll be announcing the finalists, I think the week, or we'll be announcing we'll go right up to probably the 28th. I think it's when the nomination period ends. And then I think it's on the 30th, we'll be making the announcements of the finalists live from Chicago. Kind of like what we did last year. We went around New York City and announced the finalists from different locations in New York. We'll be doing the same thing in Chicago.
Excuse me. That's right, Eric. We'll be meeting Mark up there in Chicago. Hope it's not as cold as it's reported to be. We're supposed to have 35 degrees here tomorrow. Can you believe that?
That's no good, Kenny. That's no good. I'll be thinking about you while I'm on the beach in St. Kitts, buddy.
Where's that exactly, Eric?
It's in the Caribbean. It's down in the Caribbean. Somewhere, you know, where they have rum and coconuts and beaches and sun.
Dang it, I got to get to that meeting one of these days. I haven't been down there, and I'm looking forward to warm weather already, but I hope you have a lot of fun. And again, take care of Anna. Tell her we said hello, and we appreciate her patience and putting up with sacrificing all the time away from her so that you can do the show and keep this thing going, because, Eric, it's just getting bigger and bigger. In summary, we're covering a lot of things around the globe. We're covering all the major control trends, you know, in our industry. And we're meeting a lot of people, and they just want more and more of your time and more of my time. So but I think we're just going to keep it going, because Control Trends is a materializing or manifesting into a hub that we thought was going to happen. It's actually very exciting, and we're looking forward to the next Control Trends Awards and people coming from all over the world to participate. So I think Anna's going to have to just share you.
Well, yeah. Now, Anna's actually great. She, it's tough now. She's 4 months pregnant, and, you know, so she's had some, you know, it's been a little bit rough on her. And of course, with Evelyn Grace, who turns 2 next month, Kenny, she keeps us both hopping a lot. And Evelyn right now is showing her disdain for Control Trends. She just sort of ignores me. So, you know, she loves mama right now.
Oh, but, she's going to be bring it there. You better get the bodyguards out there, because when she turns, she's going to be a very, very attractive woman.
Well, I tell you, if she's anything like her older sister, Brett, she will be. And Brett will take care of her, I'm sure. So, Kenny Smyers, man, this has been big fun as usual. Really do appreciate you. I think we're going to call it right now. Thank you so much for listening to Control Trends and Control Talk Now for the week ending October 19, 2014. He is Kenny Smyers, the man, the myth, the legend, and I am Eric Stromquist. Thanks so much for listening, and stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smyers. All right. And that's a wrap, big dog. Hey.